All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Keep It Close to Me, the podcast about the things we love and, you know, life and stuff. I am Chris. I am your host, and I am here today with my very special guest, No One. And you may have noticed that been a little gap, a little hiccup in the scheduling for the show, and there hasn't been an episode for the last week or so. And also, you might have noticed that there haven't been any I've Got to Beat Mortal Kombat episodes. And the reason for that is certainly not that because I have given up on my quest to conquer Mortal Kombat. That is definitely not the case. But the case is that I've had several guests who were supposed to be on the show had something come up, and all of them were, you know, were scheduling just didn't work out. And this, unfortunately, it was like, you know, like two, three, four people in a row where something happened. And I was just like, well, you know, and then, you know, that's how life is. These things happen. And hopefully I will get back to these people. Some of them are people that you have heard on the show before. Some of them are people you have not heard on the show before. But, you know, hopefully we'll get back to them. And goodness knows, I have certainly still been watching that awful movie every day / night. I mean, usually I watch it at night, but you get the idea. Yeah, man, I have still certainly been watching it. And this episode is actually going to be sort of part, it's going to be like a hybrid episode. No guests, just me, talking about some things, kind of letting you know some stuff, you know, what's been going on, what you've been missing, which is not much, but there's been some, you know, there've been some things, and I'll try to talk about some of those, some stuff that's been cool, some things I've been into lately, that kind of fun stuff. But it's going to be kind of a hybrid episode, kind of a two for one, because I'm going to be talking about a new movie, as is often the case that I do during the big summer movie season. But that movie that I'm going to talk about has an awful lot to do, maybe not an awful lot to do, but an awful lot in common with Mortal Kombat Annihilation, and you probably will get which movie I'm talking about, you know, long before it actually gets to it in the recording, because obviously it's going to be in the name and in the little picture put up and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, anyway, the movie Suicide Squad. But more than that, I'm going to talk about Suicide Squad. I'm going to talk about how eerily similar it is to Mortal Kombat Annihilation. But more than that, this episode, we are going to just do a ton of your Twitter questions and things like that. And that should be fun. So, yeah, I mean, what else is there to say? Not much. Before we get into Suicide Squad and Mortal Kombat Annihilation, let's just talk about some things that have been good lately. Speaking of games, which Mortal Kombat Annihilation is based on. See, that's beautiful segue. I'm very good at this. Also, though, I promise, even though every time I do one of these things where it's just me talking, I tend to tell you guys about how strange it feels to just be talking to no one, I'm going to try my level best to not do that this time. And every time it gets weird to me, I start to feel awkward. Instead of telling you how awkward I'm suddenly feeling, I'm just going to not do that. Also, I am not in my normal recording space right now. I am actually somewhere else, a secret hidden location in a different state from where I normally record the show. And I'm having to do this in kind of a less than ideal situation. The way that I have everything set up is everything is very kind of MacGyvered. And hopefully it still sounds good. But if it doesn't, if the sound quality is a little bit not as good as usual, now you know why. And it's because of that. So, speaking of games, like I was saying, played the first episode of the new Telltale Batman game. Telltale, the people that made the Walking Dead game, and they made a Jurassic Park game. I think they did a Game of Thrones game as well. They did the Fables Wolf Among Us, I think that's the name of it, game. And these are sort of like, you know, they're basically like, what do they call that type of game? It's like point-and-click adventure games, something like that. Anyway, the new Telltale Batman game, though, that just came out, loved it. Absolutely loved it. It's rated M, and I mean, I know why it's rated M, but I don't know why it had to be rated M, because the stuff that makes it rated M could just as easily have been, you know, cut out or toned down just a touch. Without taking anything at all away from the gameplay or the game story. Maybe they've got stuff in mind for a later one that really requires that M rating. But, you know, Batman has also been getting along fine for, you know, 75 years without being rated M or R or, you know, whatever. So I don't know why they suddenly needed to make it M, but I only mention that because it is an M-rated game, so maybe some of you younger listeners might not be allowed to play it, but other than a little bit of, you know, there was some language and maybe a little bit of blood that was not totally necessary. Man, other than that, I don't know why else it would be rated M, and there's no reason to not play it. If you're at all into games in this style, and maybe even if you're not, if you just want like an awesome Batman game, man, super duper fun. Oh, and this being a Batman game also kind of ties into Suicide Squad, because of course Batman is in Suicide Squad several times. We'll get into that in a minute. But the Telltale Batman game, super awesome. Just so neat and so well done. I like the look of it. I really, really love the costume that they designed for him for this. Feels like a Batman costume with sort of a, you know, quote unquote, real world look, like you could, that I believe way more than anything that they have done in like the Arkham games or in any of the movies, probably. Just looks like it would actually kind of be beneficial to a Batman type person if they were trying to work in the real world, as well as, you know, not being a hindrance. Just looking really cool, but also looking fairly believable. The way someone said to me on Twitter, they were like, man, it's just got, I'm paraphrasing, but said way too many seams on it. But in the game, you know, and for something that you're trying to pretend could maybe work in real life, I think it looks great. I mean, it would be a pain in the butt to draw, but since I am not trying to draw it, just looking at it, I'm really into it, and it looks great in the game. Man, I don't really want to just go through the whole first episode or anything, but a lot of fun. If you're into Batman, if you're into those types of games, I could not recommend it highly enough. It's the first game I've played where, and the Arkham games do kind of give you a feel for that, of feeling like, oh man, really feel like I'm Batman. But most of those games are just kind of, you're mostly just, my experience with them at least, most of it is you're just kind of jumping around and punching, you know, just brawling around, hitting a bunch of buttons. I do love the sneaking and the combat, the sneaking around, and then like the drop down takedowns and stuff like that. The sneaking around and trying to be smart sort of feels more like Batman to me than just beating people up. And this game, there is, you know, there are fights in this game and everything, but they're mostly quick time stuff. But the cool thing this game does is let you, it's sort of more about figuring out what's going on, the detective side of Batman. And then it lets you, you really have to kind of try to figure these mysteries. I guess that's the best thing to call it. Try to put these clues together and figure out what's going on in certain situations. And then it also lets you do this thing where if you're Batman and you're about to go into this bad guy situation, lets you kind of plan out what you're going to try to do first, you know, like Batman would. He'd kind of scope things out and then go, all right, this is probably what's going to happen. This is what I'm going to do. Then I'm going to do this, then this, then this. And then you sort of plan those events out. And then when they, you know, then when you put the plan into action, even though the game has basically laid out for you what, what to do, you still feel, or I did at least, you feel more of that feeling of like, oh man, I really Batmaned that out. So that was super fun to me. And I like the story and just a cool game. So if you haven't already, check it out. If you have checked it out, let me know what you think. Send us an email at keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. Don't worry, I'm probably going to mention that again at the end of the show if you don't have a pen and paper handy right now. Because I, like I said in the very earliest episodes, I assume that all of you are listening to this episode and every other episode with paper and pen or some kind of note-taking apparatus handy so that you can try to put together all the hidden clues that I have put in every show to solve the mystery and win the huge cash prize that will come at the very end of when the podcast is over. Not over as in this episode, but when the podcast is completely finished and we close the book on it and there is never to be another one. But since that hasn't happened yet, that's why you haven't been able to figure the clues out yet. So, Batman, the Telltale series game, episode 1 is out. Episode 2 should be out soon. I think sometime in September is when the second one's coming out. You should check it out. That's all I'm saying. Other things that are good. Stranger Things. Wow. The Netflix series, also probably not for the super young listeners, even though, you know, the stars of the show are pretty young. Oddly enough, the stars of the show would probably be not old enough to be allowed to watch the show. But that shouldn't stop you from watching it, because even though it's about kids, it's fantastic and just, man, such a great show. Not going to give anything away. But if you haven't watched it yet, you totally should. Same deal as with the Batman game. If you have watched it and if you've got thoughts on it you want to share with me, send those on in. You can tweet at me at TheChrisHaley or to the show at KICTMPodcast. And if you haven't followed Keep It Close to Me on Twitter yet, please do that. What else? Such a good show. Stranger Things. So good. Such good kid actors, which is a much rarer kind of skill than you'd think. Okay, what else? In the world of comics, if you have a Comixology account, which anyone can get for free, and Comixology is not paying me to say this, they are not a sponsor of this show, but right now IDW has got a big sale going on through the end of August of just a ton of their various licensed property comics like like G.I. Joe and Ghostbusters and stuff like that. But a number one on the list that you have to check out because it's great and it is a steal right now. All the single issues are only 99 cents, or they've got the first two trades for ridiculously cheap on there. They have the Transformers versus G.I. Joe comic by Tom Scioli and some other guy. I can't think of his name, but Tom Scioli is the real kind of genius behind it, who you may know from other comic stuff. If you don't worry about it. And you may think, oh, I'm not really into G.I. Joe and Transformers, but holy cow, you want to talk about a comic that just completely blew my socks off. I remember when my friend Kurt, who you may remember from previous episodes, where we still have not talked about Warcraft, but there is a third episode coming, so don't worry. And that's the one where we finally talk about Warcraft. Maybe. Kurt told me, after the first issue or two came out, told me I should check it out because it was really good. And I was like, I don't know, man. That seems like it just doesn't seem like it would be something I would really be able to get into. And he was like, just trust me, check this out. And man, he has never been so right, because that comic was just incredible. I think we actually talked about it in one of the episodes that Kurt was on, but just absolutely unfettered. Is that the right word? Unfettered? Just unleashed imagination and craziness. And man, talk about a comic where you never know what's going to happen. Not just never know what's going to happen next, but like from panel to panel, I feel like so much of that comic would be absolutely impossible to predict. Just, and how fast it moves and how quickly things can just completely change. Incredible. Just an awesome book, and the art is great. I mean, it might not be to everyone's taste, but man, it sure fits the story. And just, I've never read another comic that felt so much like what it felt like to, you know, to play with your toys as a kid and just make up wild stories and just have stuff happen. And man, such a great book. And it is, there's only 13 issues and it's just amazing. And they're all only 99 cents each now. And until the, I think the end of August. So definitely check those out. And I can't give it any higher possible recommendation. All of these things I'm mentioning today are basically things that I couldn't give any higher recommendation to. And our final thing that I wanted to talk about as far as things that aren't the main thing we're talking about today is Pokemon Go, which, oh my gosh, I'm sure everyone is already, all of you are already playing that, but I just want to say I'm having so much fun with it. Not as much fun as I'd like to have, because there are only so many hours in a day, so many miles I can walk in a day, and it is really, really, really hot in Memphis in the summer. And, you know, I have a dog that gives me a good excuse to go walking and trying to catch these Pokemon, but man, little buddy just cannot be out in the heat for quite as long as I can. So if you haven't played it yet, good grief. That's impossible. There's no way you're not playing it already. maybe you're playing it and have already given up on it. But I hope not. I hope you're out there with me striving to catch them all. I am Team Mystic. And if you are not Team Mystic, please don't tell me, because I don't want to have to be blood enemies with you for the rest of our lives. So there's that stuff. And I guess I don't know what's a good segue from that into Suicide Squad. So I'll just start telling you about things that I noticed. I'm not even really going to get into Suicide Squad all that much as far as like a review or anything like that. The movie is a huge mess. You probably, if you were going to see it, you probably already have. But I will say that, and that's part of why I kind of wanted to do this episode a little bit later than I started to do it like the day after the movie came out, and ended up not, because I was like, well, maybe I should give people a chance to see it before I do like a bunch of spoilers or try to answer a bunch of questions that might ruin it for people. But I think at this point, you've probably seen it. And if you haven't seen it, you probably weren't going to go see it anyway. So there's that. But there are going to be some spoilers here. So if you don't want this train wreck of a movie spoiled for you, now is the time to maybe go see it and then come back and listen to the rest of this. So, yeah, the movie is a mess, but not a completely unfun mess. Could have been a lot more fun. It was a little bit frustrating because you could see there were parts of this movie, there were parts of a good movie within this movie. And obviously there's already been all kinds of articles written about all the behind the scenes shenanigans and headaches and multiple edits going on at the same time that have kind of led to why the movie is such a mess. But it's not like an infuriatingly bad mess. It's still a bummer how much of a mess it is and how good it maybe could have been. But it's not like insultingly bad. It's more just kind of a little bit of a bummer how slapdash it feels. But I mean, even if the movie hadn't had all the behind the scenes at reshoots and re-edits and all that stuff going on, when you've only got 6 weeks to write a movie script for a $150 million movie, however much it cost, it's only gonna, I feel like that's starting out on a really bad foot to begin with. And Warner Brothers should have given poor David Ayer more time to work on the script. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. If you want to go see this movie, go see it. I'm not saying you shouldn't see it. I'm just saying it's a pretty big mess. But the thing I wanted to really talk about with the movie is how similar it is, how many things it has in common, how similar it is to Mortal Kombat Annihilation, and just completely out of nowhere, that YouTube movie reviewer Movie Bob, who I don't particularly care for, but he just tweeted that he felt like the movie that Suicide Squad structurally reminded him the most of was Mortal Kombat Annihilation. And of course, everybody brought that to my attention, which I thank you for, if you're one of the people who pointed that out to me. I like that now, that anytime something Mortal Kombat pops up in the news or somewhere, that there are people who point it out to me, like tweeted at me, or, you know, I truly do appreciate that. But it's funny, because I don't really like Mortal Kombat, but I do like that people let me know when there's, you know, new Mortal Kombat stuff out there, something comes up with it in the news. But anyway, he said that, and I was like, oh man, what a weird reference to make. And I was like, I truly doubt that that's the case. But then I saw the movie, and man, he was not kidding. It really is. Not only is it structurally similar, but it's also, there's just so many things that are, you know, basically it's very reminiscent of each other. And, when I, of course, after I saw Suicide Squad, once I got out, then I came home and went to watch for my nightly viewing of Mortal Kombat Annihilation. I just started kind of like tweeting out some, just as I was watching it that night, I started, you know, jotting down a couple notes and tweeting out some similarities just as I was noticing them. So this list is certainly not completely comprehensive. This is just the stuff that kind of came to me as I was watching it that night. And let's just go through some of these, and they're just in the order that they kind of came to me as I was watching the movie. And we'll just go through some of these, and I'll give you my thoughts on them. And if you're listening to this, you can tweet or email me with any of your thoughts on some of these, or you can just, you know, listen to what it sounds like to watch someone, or to listen to someone go crazy, when everything just starts seeming like it all comes back to this one awful movie. So first of all, the first thing I noticed was that both movies have a female character named Katana that wants to be reunited with a dead loved one. Now, they do spell their names a little differently. One is Katana with a K-I-T, and one is Katana with a K-A-T. But the one in Mortal Kombat, her mom is dead, and she wants to, she's been brought back to life, and then she wants to, this podcast is also probably going to be spoilers for Mortal Kombat Annihilation, if you haven't watched that yet. So the Mortal Kombat Katana wants to be reunited with her dead mother, and the Katana from Suicide Squad wants to be reunited with her dead husband. And the dead husband is tragically trapped in this, his soul is trapped in this sword magic sword she uses, and Katana's mother has magically been brought back from the dead and is a bad guy now. And so they're both kind of unable to get the parent that they want, or the loved one that they want back. The second thing I noticed was both movies have a lady with blonde hair who is a real butt kicker that is driven to action in the story by something that happens to their narcissistic jerk boyfriend. So in Suicide Squad, Harley Quinn is the lady with blonde hair who kicks butt. And then she is driven to action at the end of the movie by the fact that she thinks the Joker is dead. And in in Mortal Kombat Annihilation, Sonya is the lady with blonde hair who kicks butt. And her narcissistic jerk boyfriend, Johnny Cage, gets killed at the very beginning, which then gives her the emotional impetus to really want to see Shao Kahn defeated. Besides the fact that, you know, the whole world will be destroyed or whatever. She also, her main reason for wanting to fight is to get back at Shao Kahn, to get revenge for Johnny being killed. So both of them, they're, you know, well, one of them, their jerk boyfriend really is killed. One of them, she only thinks he's dead. But that's actually only in Suicide Squad, that's actually only in the way they re-edited the movie, that she thinks he's dead, because in the original version, that's not how it plays out anyway. We don't have to get into all of that stuff. Also, both of them wear short shorts, coincidentally. They both wear white shirts and then short shorts. So, whatever that means. The next thing was, both movies have an evil lady that used to be good, that's older than she looks, who is the key to closing portals. So, in Mortal Kombat Annihilation, it's, what's her name? Sindel, who is Katana's mom, Queen Sindel. Oh, and they both have, like, long black hair. Enchantress is the one in Suicide Squad. But Sindel and Enchantress both are actually are really, really old, even though they don't look like they're that old, because they're, whatever, evil, or, you know, from another otherworldly place, magic, whatever. Both of them are making a portal kind of thing, or involved with portals. I guess Sindel is only sort of involved with Shao Kahn's portals. Portals that you... I still don't know exactly what the deal with the portals is in Mortal Kombat Annihilation. I've been watching this movie for 130-something nights, and I still... There's still things I don't know or understand about the plot and specifics of this movie, which is not a good sign for a movie, I don't mind telling you. But she is supposedly the key to closing Khan's portals, is a thing that they say multiple times in the movie. I don't know how or why, because that's not really explained, and then it turns out it's not true, it was a trick, but supposedly there was a prophecy or a legend, so I don't know how they... It doesn't make sense. And then Enchantress is making a big sky portal laser machine magic thing, and stopping her will close it. So there's those two things. Both movies are about a team of people with special skills who can't get along, becoming a quote-unquote family to save the world from two villains that are related. In Mortal Kombat Annihilation, the two villains are Shao Kahn and his dad, and in... I keep forgetting the names of these two movies when I go to try to say them. In Suicide Squad, the two people are Enchantress and her brother, whose name I have forgotten. He's got some kind of name. I'm sure I'll think of it at some point and then feel dumb that I couldn't think of it now. But eventually it will come to me. But so yeah, you got two bad guys, two sets of bad guys. They're both related. They're both trying to end the world. And the teams of people with different kinds of skills... have to try to stop them, and they can't get along, and they're bickering, and they have to try to work to become a family, and a quote-unquote family. Or not quotes. Maybe they just have to really become an actual family, and everyone in the teams will somehow, you know, find a way to become related to one another. But yeah, very similar. What else? Both movies have a Native American character that is basically only in one scene and then completely disappears from the movie. Now, the two of these characters disappear for completely different reasons, but in Mortal Kombat Annihilation, you've got Nightwolf, who is there to try to teach Liu Kang something. I don't know what it is that he does exactly besides hit Liu Kang in the head with a magic tomahawk. He basically knocks him out so he can have some kind of fever dream about things that have already happened in the movie and Shao Kahn calling him a loser. And Nightwolf is supposedly very powerful and, an important character in helping Liu Kang learn, but he never shows up again. If he's, if the whole world's about to be destroyed and he's such a powerful warrior, you'd think that he would want to show up and help defeat Shao Kahn's forces at the end of the movie, maybe. Maybe off camera somewhere before that, maybe in the novelization somewhere, we find out that he was attacked by... He's off somewhere fighting Shao Kahn's forces, or he got captured or something. They never mention him again, though, after that, basically that one scene. And then in Suicide Squad, Slipknot is suddenly, after everyone else has had these kind of like music video introductions, they're just about to go off on their first mission or whatever it is they're trying to do with them, and all of a sudden Slipknot, they just dump him out of a car, and it's like, oh, here's this guy. And then he's there for like one scene to be the guy that we don't know anything about, and who then tries to run off and gets his head blown up. So he's, after his head gets blown up, obviously he's not in the movie anymore. But another odd coincidence that the Native American character barely in the movie and then is never seen again. They both come in kind of like around I'd say they probably come in around the same time and then leave just as soon around this, you know, just about the same time in the sort of within the beats of the movie as far as like the runtime. Both movies have a script that is really lazy in some parts and then needlessly complicated in other parts. You just have to see both of these to get what I mean, but because I'm not going to kind of go through the whole plot and try to piece it, you know, and like lay it all out, because who has time for that? I mean, clearly I have time for that, but I haven't done that homework. But just trust me. There's parts where it's like, oh, you did the easiest, you know, laziest thing possible to get this point across. And then you've made but then also your, you know, your villain's plot or, you know, plan or whatever is just wildly, needlessly complicated to the point where you're just like, where it's hard to know exactly what the plan is or what the, or in Suicide Squad's case, it's like, maybe I am going to talk about the whole thing. In Suicide Squad's case, you know, there's this whole thing of like, oh, they want to do this plan because they need bad guys to fight the next bigger bad guy. But then they're the ones who it's them making this team is what causes the problem that then they have to go fight. But they're supposed to go get someone out of this Midway. I think it's Midway City where this Enchantress's stuff is happening. They're trying to get her, this person out, but they don't know who it is. And then they get there and it turns out it's Amanda Waller. And like, why didn't they just tell him that in the first place? Why was that like a surprise? Why was that a secret? And then when they're trying to get her out of there, you know, then there's like double crosses. And I mean, anyway, and it goes on like that, being confusing. Both movies have a guy with bad hair continuity, sometimes from shot to shot, which is to say that a character's hair, when I say bad hair continuity, that's to say the character's hair from like scene to scene and changes just throughout the movie, and not in a way that's like there's a part where Raiden says, you know, Raiden gets a haircut in Mortal Kombat Annihilation at one point, and that's not bad hair continuity. That's just the character has changed. But there's parts in Mortal Kombat Annihilation where when Raiden still has the long hair, he'll have the long hair pulled back and it'll cut away from him, and then it'll cut back to him and his hair isn't pulled back in a ponytail. And then it'll cut away from him again and cut back to him, or it'll cut to him doing something else and suddenly his hair's down again, and that kind of thing. And with with Suicide Squad, what's the guy's name? Flag? Rick Flag? Is that his name? General? I can't even remember the guy's name. Jeepers creepers. Joel Kinnaman is the guy that plays him. He's the military guy that's trying to keep them all together, trying to get them to work together. It's like in charge of them out in the field. His hair just like kept changing style and length all throughout the movie. And the movie takes place over the course of a couple days, it feels like. So it's not like he would be just constantly getting haircuts, you know, or his hair would suddenly be getting shorter, then much longer, and then shorter again. But in both movies, you got a guy with bad hair continuity who is trying to get the team to work together. And in both movies, that guy has a secret connection to the villain. In Suicide Squad, turns out that Flag... Man, I'm going to feel dumb if that's not his name. I think it's Flag, right? That Gunhaver, military guy. He's all in love with the Enchantress, or the Enchantress's, you know, human identity. And in Mortal Kombat, Raiden is secretly related to both Shao Kahn and Shao Kahn's dad, because Shao Kahn and Raiden, in a shocking twist, they are brothers. And Shao Kahn's dad is also Raiden's dad. Also, completely pointless that happens. There's like, you could have the movie work exactly the same way without that happening. In both cases, I guess. I mean, I'm sure you could find a good reason for Gunhaver to want to do what he's doing without having him be in love with the Enchantress. Both Jade and the Enchantress change their appearance when they change sides, And they also have very similar costumes at one point. So both Jade and Enchantress start off as on the good guys' side, sort of, and then end up being bad guys. And they both, whenever they do that, their looks change. Not a lot to that one, but there is a point where they do have surprisingly similar costumes on. Look, these are not all really huge topics of discussion. They're just interesting things I found. And this is the point where I won't tell you how awkward it is to be discussing all of this just by myself. Okay, both movies have a scene where the team is mad at the guy that's trying to get them to work together for keeping something from them. So in Suicide Squad, that's when the team gets mad that Gunhaver has not told them, you know, the truth about what all is going on, and that he's, you know, in love with Enchantress, and that he's got files on all of them that say whatever. I don't know. The team gets very mad about it at some point when Will Smith finds the binder full of information on them that he throws at Gunhaver. And then, of course, the Mortal Kombat team gets mad at Raiden when they find out that Shao Kahn is his brother, which, not like it matters. Again, it's not like he's secretly on the same team. It really doesn't do anything for them to be mad about. I mean, lots of people have brothers or siblings or family members that they don't get along with. Both movies have a fight at the end where two characters turn into CGI monsters and fight. And in Mortal Kombat, it is one of the most hilarious things ever. And in Suicide Squad, it's actually kind of neat. But again, just a weird coincidence. My friend Dan, who you may remember from a previous episode of I've Got to Beat Mortal Kombat, Daniel Feltz, he went and saw the movie with me, and he mentioned also that both movies have someone swinging around a big hammer that is never seen again in the movie. Harley Quinn in Suicide Squad and Shao Kahn in this other movie that I can't think of the name of all of a sudden. Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Good grief. How could I ever forget the name of that movie? I could cut that out, but I'm leaving it in so you guys can hear how hard I'm trying. So those are just some of the things that I found in my watch through of Mortal Kombat Annihilation after seeing Suicide Squad. If you guys think of any more similarities, and I haven't read all of your questions yet, which we're going to do next. Haven't read all those yet, so maybe you mentioned some in those questions. We'll see. But if you have any, like I said before, email them to the show at keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com or tweet them at me at KICTMpodcast on the Twitter application or desktop website if you go to it that way. Or laptop. Look, guys, you get what I mean. I know you know how Twitter works. So now let's get to some of your questions.
For real. Oh, really? That's how you feel?
And the guys be like, asking all them questions. Why you asking all them questions? Making statements. Asking all them questions. Why you asking all them questions? Making statements.
At Dan_Spaceman asked about Suicide Squad. I think all of these questions are mostly about Suicide Squad, but there may be some Mortal Kombat in there. We'll see. I'm going to go through the questions, see how it goes. At Dan_Spaceman asks, does it live up to its name? Does it live up to the name Suicide Squad? Well, they do say Suicide Squad in the movie at one point, I think. Will Smith said it in the trailer, but I don't know if it actually got cut out of the movie or not. There is one character who sort of commits suicide, but he's not one of the Suicide Squad. So I don't know. The movie did not make me want to commit suicide, so maybe not. Maybe it did not live up to its name. Maybe you will just have to see it and make your own decision there. At James Lucas Jones said, not really a question, more of a statement, but he said, I believe you are what they call a glutton for punishment, in that not only am I doing the Mortal Kombat thing, but that I went and saw, I believe that's what this is in reference to when he said this, was that I went and saw Suicide Squad and then jumped right from it back into my Mortal Kombat Annihilation journey. I prefer to look at it, Mr. James Lucas Jones, I prefer to look at it as I'm not a glutton for punishment. I am someone who is willing to try new things and someone who is willing to try to accomplish difficult things. So, yeah, maybe think about that, Mr. James Lucas Jones. Okay, at Aqualec, or Aqua Alec? Aqua Alec sounds cooler, but that's not quite how it's spelled, so I don't know. Asks, what did you think of Dadshot? I like Dadshot. I don't know how much I feel like the character was actually all that much like the Deadshot that I am passingly familiar with from the comics. I haven't read that many comics with Deadshot in them, to be honest. I've read some of, what was it? I think Villains United? No. What was that comic that I have read that he was in? Secret Six? Something like that? I think Gail Simone wrote that Catman was also in. Haven't read that much with him. So I don't know how similar he really was to the character in the comics. But Will Smith was great in this. He's a very charming guy. He gave us a lot to like in the movie. So yeah, I liked him. Didn't really seem like all that bad a guy. You know, when they were talking about this crew of characters that Amanda Waller, when she's talking about them, she's talking about how they're the worst of the worst. Deadshot doesn't really seem like that bad a guy. And none of them, well, maybe a couple of them, but I feel like they tried a little too hard to make them so likable that they didn't really seem like they were that bad. This is not a Guardians of the Galaxy situation where these are people who are sort of bad or maybe just like on the wrong side of the law. Like these people are supposed to be really, really bad. And then, you know, I don't know. So Detch, I liked Will Smith in this. He could have had more to do, maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing him in just his own movie if it was well written with this character. Or seeing him maybe pop up in some of the other ones. I don't know. I feel like I'll be a little bit surprised if I see him show up as this character too many more times. But who knows? Who knows? At @white_dolomite asks, if you had an animality, what form do you think it would be? Well, on a previous episode, @white_dolomite, I believe we covered this. I don't remember which episode of I've Got to Beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation it was. I think it was the episode with Lynn, which I don't know what number that was, but you can figure it out. I believe we covered this, and I said that my animality would be that I turn into an octopus, and where you'd have like each tentacle would grab onto a different limb, and then one grabs onto the head, and then just yanks you apart all at once, which is, I thought of just on the spot in that episode, and man, I can't believe they haven't done that animality already, because it's so obvious and cool, and maybe someone from Mortal Kombat will hear this, and then they'll rip it off the next time they do, the next time they do a Mortal Kombat game. So that's the answer to that. I'd be an octopus. At Tempest Audit asks, who's worse, Shao Kahn or Jared Leto Joker? And then Tempest Audit also asks, how many nights to go? 200 and something is how many nights to go, I believe. 230 something, I think. Something like that. Who's worse, Shao Kahn or Jared Leto Joker? Well, Jared Leto Joker is not that bad because he's barely in the movie. I actually would have liked to have seen him be in the movie more for all the hype that they built up around him and all this, which, and of course I know that in the original cut of the movie, he was in it way more. And, you know, apparently he's unhappy with how much the you know, the new edit of this movie completely, you know, almost completely takes him out of the movie. He has almost no bearing on the plot, or like there's almost like no reason for him to be in it at all. And the way that the movie stands now, you could take him out of it completely and it wouldn't make any difference. Absolutely. Other than if you just want to show flashbacks of him and, you know, he and Harley meeting, no point for him being in this movie. But, you know, if you're going to have him in the movie, then man, have him be in the movie. It would have been much cooler if the Suicide Squad was like trying to take him out, you know, instead of him just having no point, you know, in the movie, having no bearing on the plot. So I gotta go. I guess Shao Kahn was worse, because he is very much in the movie, but his plan doesn't make sense. He actively does things that hurt his chances of success with his plan. And he's like constantly made to look foolish or, you know, weak or scared or stupid, by like everything that's happening around him. It seems like he's doing everything just to try to impress his dad, but his dad still hates him. So I guess Shao Kahn is worse, but I also feel bad for him. I feel bad for the character. I don't feel bad for the actor, because he at least got to be in a lot of the movie. And I feel worse for Jared Leto, though, because he went through all this trouble of like really trying to get into the character and then is barely in the movie, you know, and having all this online scorn and derision tossed his way, and just jokes made about him and all these kinds of things. And then to not even be in the movie after going through all that stuff, just seems like a bummer. I mean, not like he's not a pretentious, I'm sure he's a real handful to have to try to deal with, but even so, I still feel kind of bad for him. All right. At SquidEye asks, how come they killed off white guy Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat Annihilation, but Native American Slipknot in Suicide Squad? Couldn't tell you. I don't know. I assume they killed Slipknot because he is the least known, least useful character in the movie. I have no idea what he's supposed to be able to do or how he would possibly help in the situation that they are walking into, or any situation. He's a guy that climbs stuff. Was that what they said? Is the guy who can climb anything? Was that what they said? It's not even a power. It's a skill. If that's the case. And most of it is just like I don't know. I have no idea. I guess they killed Johnny Cage because without him being killed, Sonya wouldn't have that added drive to want to fight Shao Kahn. Like with Liu Kang, he's the chosen one or whatever, so he's got to go do it. With Katana, she sees that Shao Kahn has brought her mother back, so she wants to fight for that reason. But if without killing Johnny Cage, there's no real reason, there's no personal reason for Sonya to want to fight. You'd think the world ending would be enough of a reason, but it's to have a personal reason, I guess it's for that. There's lots of parts in Mortal Kombat Annihilation where I feel like Sonya was originally supposed to be the main character, and then, you know, the studio changed it at the last minute or something to make it about Liu Kang, because she is the one who seems like she has the most personal reason to want to try to defeat him. And then all of a sudden at the end, she's just like, I'll just fight whoever's left. So that doesn't really answer your question, but that's the best I can do. At WC_WIT, and it's all in capitals, which is why I'm spelling it out like that, said, which movie had the weirder team member turns into a CGI monster to fight the villain fight scene? Mortal Kombat definitely has to win that one because it is some of the most nonsensical, hilarious, makes no sense, suddenly turning into a CGI monster thing probably ever. Man, just if you guys haven't seen that scene, I'm sorry if this is spoiling it for you, and you don't get to just suddenly be surprised by it the first time you watch the movie. It is absolutely hilarious when the two of them turn into CGI monsters to have a quote-unquote fight. And even better than that is like some of the other characters' reactions to seeing it happen. And they're in a world where things are mostly like our normal world. You know, most of the way things work or how things work in our world. And then suddenly a guy you've just been talking to turns into a weightlifting dragon standing on its hind legs. That's incredibly terrible CGI, and people's reactions to that aren't, you know, clawing their faces out and, you know, just completely losing their minds in disbelief. Their reactions are like, oh, the Big Macs are on sale for 99 cents. That's quite a deal. It's like their reactions are so muted and just so completely not appropriate for what they're supposed to be seeing. It's completely, utterly hilarious. And then in Suicide Squad, this is a world where people are used to seeing things like Superman and crazy stuff, I guess. So when those characters, well, and one of the guys is just CGI the whole time. So that's not even like totally a surprise. I mean, he starts off as a normal guy, and then early on in the movie, he gets turned into a big CGI guy. But that's got to go with Mortal Kombat. It was kind of cool, the CGI monster fight. It was kind of cool at the end of Suicide Squad. I keep worrying that I'm getting their names mixed up, and it's all just jumbling together in my head, and I'm going to be talking about one when I mean to be talking about the other. So good luck figuring this episode out. See, normally if I have someone here with me to talk to, and I start going off the rails and don't know what I'm talking about, or if what I'm saying stops making sense, I can usually read that on the other person's face because they start getting this quizzical look about, you know, where I can tell they're saying, Chris, what you're saying suddenly makes no sense and you sound like a crazy person. And then I can, you know, I can backtrack a little bit and go like, okay, where did I lose you? Where did I go wrong? At what point did I start losing my mind? But without that, you know, without someone here, just good luck, folks. Hopefully when I go to edit this, when I'm having to re-listen to it and put all the stuff in, I'll be able to tell if there's parts where it sounds like I'm losing my mind. And if that is the case, I'll be able to cut them out or try to just, you know, try to make sense of it. Former podcast guest at Daniel Feltz asked, how do these two movies compare structurally? Does Suicide Squad suffer by staying too close to a formula? Well, Dan, I think you're smarter than me with a lot of this stuff, so you probably know the answer to these questions better than I do. You could probably write out a much better answer to this than I could. You should just do, and then I can read it on the air. Or you could come on again and maybe we'll talk about it if I'm not completely sick of talking about this movie by the time we get to, by the time I get done with all these questions. I don't know if I could say Suicide Squad even follows a formula. I mean, there are definitely formulaic things in it, but the way this movie was edited around, it makes it make so much more or less sense than if it was just a sort of a straight narrative. A more linear narrative. And if you haven't seen it, I mean, this probably may not even make sense, but I think that Suicide Squad maybe could have benefited from being a little more formulaic, possibly. I think the biggest thing is that if it had tried to adhere to the formula of make your movie make sense, I think that would have been good for it. At Zachary Witten, who is also a former guest of the show, I think he was my guest on the very first episode of I've Got to Beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation, he asks, will you be watching Suicide Squad for a year after you finish Mortal Kombat Annihilation? Good Lord, I hope not. That movie was long. It felt long. And the good thing about Mortal Kombat Annihilation is that it's only like an hour and 10 minutes, hour and 20 minutes or something. It's not very long. Because if it was like 10 minutes longer, I don't think I could have made it this far. And Suicide Squad's got to be over 2 hours. It certainly felt like it was over 2 hours. I definitely do not want to watch that movie every day for a year. Zach also asked, am I still your most drunk guest on the show? And the answer to that is definitely not. Bridget is by far the drunkest guest we've ever had on the show, because she absolutely annihilated the Mortal Kombat, I've got to beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation drinking game. And, she beat Zach, she beat you, Zach, by a large margin. So kudos to Bridget at Body by Fishstick on Twitter. And I think Bridget, I think I tweeted that at Zach too. And Bridget said she wanted that put on her tombstone, that she was the drunkest guest ever. At Fizz versus the World asks, if Amanda Waller were part of Mortal Kombat's Outworld Investigation Agency, who would be part of that reality's Task Force X? Let's see. Well, if she's trying to do the same deal, it would be like Bad Guys. So it would be like Kano and, who are the other definitive bad guys in Mortal Kombat? I mean, could she get people like Sub-Zero and Scorpion? Goro? I mean, are those people ever going to get put in jail? Get in some kind of crazy lockup that then she could try to... Scorpion is already dead, I think. So what sway could she hold over him? If you get the original Sub-Zero, who's a bad guy, I mean, he's got powers, but I guess you could probably get him in jail. Who else is there? I don't know. Kano is the only one I can really think of. He's the only one from the games that seems like just a straight up criminal type that you could say, all right, we'll let you, one, that you could get in, you could put him in jail. And then two, that you could say, all right, we'll let you out of jail, or we'll, you know, shorten your sentence if you do these things for us. So I guess it would just be Kano, and I don't think things would go well for him. Then he asks, who's the more pointless authority? The DCEU's U.S. government or the Elder Gods of Mortal Kombat Annihilation? They're both pretty terrible at their gigs of trying to keep things lawful and in order. They both seem to have no real control over the events that are happening around them until... something like the Elder Gods and MKA at least kind of show up at the end and keep Shao Kahn and Raiden's dad from just killing everyone himself. But if he has that kind of power, why didn't he just do it anyway? So they both are terrible. The Elder Gods of Mortal Kombat Annihilation don't seem to actively hate the heroes. Like, it seems like the U.S. government is determined to hate Superman for some reason. I dislike the U.S. government in the DC movies much more than I do the Elder Gods. They just seem ineffectual and kind of above it all in the Elder Gods in Mortal Kombat. But I actively dislike everyone involved with the U.S. government / military in Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman and Suicide Squad. So, I think that's probably where I'd go with those. Let's see, what else? Okay, at Fizz vs. the World also asks, if Mortal Kombat Annihilation were recast with the cast members of Suicide Squad, who would play who? Now, I think that the question here is if you had to use the actors, not the characters. So let's do it like that. Let's see. Obviously, I would do Will Smith as Jax, and he'd have... because, and I say obviously, besides the fact that they're both just African-American guys with facial hair who are in great shape, it also feels like throughout the entirety of Mortal Kombat Annihilation that they wanted Jax to be like a Will Smith-type character, like where he is, he's cool and quippy and... Will Smith would, he's just a bad, the script is bad, and he's the guy who's playing Jax is not Will Smith. So Will Smith would, then Jax would probably be like a great character. So, and he would be completely different from how he is in the movie, because in the movie he's just terrible. He's like, the way he is written is terrible. I don't mean he's not a terrible character inherently, but the way he is written is terrible. And, like borderline offensively terrible. I could go on about that for a long time, but, yeah, Will Smith would be Jax and that would be pretty cool. I would put Margot Robbie, however she pronounces it. I would put her as Sonya because she already is playing a very similar character in, well, very similar looking character, I guess, costumed character in Suicide Squad. But she'd be a great Sonya. I mean, she's got the physicality and she could look the part. Let's see, who else? Are there other characters? I can't remember. Who would be Liu Kang? Who would be Liu Kang? I guess I'm having trouble remembering the cast of Suicide Squad beyond Will Smith and Margot Robbie or Roby. Maybe I should just pull up the old IMDb and look at the cast. Or a poster, maybe. All right, so let me just go through the cast as it's listed here on the website and see who I would try to have play who. Already said Margot Robbie and Will Smith. Jared Leto, who would he be in this? Let's see. Who have we got? I should jot this down. Okay, it's funny that one of the challenges I normally do in episodes of I've Got to Beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation is asking people how many characters' names they can remember, and then here I am not being able to remember the characters' names. So, Margot Robbie would be Sonya. Will Smith would be Jax, now that I've jotted all the characters' names down. Let's see. I would probably have Cara Delevingne, the lady who plays Enchantress. Man, I don't know how to pronounce so many of these people's names. Cara, however she pronounces it, Enchantress. Probably have her play. I don't know. Jade, maybe. She could play Jade. That seems reasonable. She could be Jade. I mean, I know that Jade in the in Mortal Kombat Annihilation is an Asian actress, but I guess the character doesn't have to be. Look, I am limited by the actors that I have in front of me, and so this is at Fizz versus the World's fault, or whoever did the casting for Suicide Squad's fault. I'm just working with what I've got here. So sure, have her be. Have Enchantress be the actress who plays Enchantress be Jade. All right, Liu Kang. With a name like Liu Kang, seems like he kind of has to be an Asian actor. So maybe I could switch it up and have Liu Kang be a female. I don't know how gendered the name Liu Kang is, but you know. Most names, you can have people can be named whatever. So maybe have the actress who played Katana in Suicide Squad play a now female Liu Kang. Let's see. And then who could play Katana then? the obvious one would be to have Katana from Suicide Squad play Katana from Mortal Kombat Annihilation. But that's, well... The only other lady in this is, according to the the cast sheet here is Viola Davis and, well, I was thinking maybe she would be Sindel, but, Man, I don't know. There needs to be a few more ladies in this movie because there's more ladies in Mortal Kombat Annihilation than there are in, or than there is in Suicide Squad. So I don't know. I feel like Viola Davis would make a good Sindel, but maybe, I mean, I guess, you know, well, Katana's already actually way older than, she's hundreds or if not thousands of years old in the Mortal Kombat mythology. So maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe she could be Katana, but it's also a little hard for me to imagine Viola Davis doing like martial arts fight scenes. But then again, I guess the actress that they had doing Katana in the movie wasn't totally believable. So I don't know. Let's skip Katana for right now. Who would be a good Raiden? Joel Kinnaman actually kind of looks like... He already kind of looks like the kind like a cross between... Maybe like a cross between Christopher Lambert and James Remar. So maybe you have him be Raiden. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you have him be Raiden. Maybe you have... I was thinking Jared Leto would be a good Johnny Cage. But you know what? Maybe have... Well, if you kill him right away like they did in the movie, well, that would also be kind of like Suicide Squad in that he's not in the movie very much. But he also might be in... He might be a good Shao Kahn for like a... I don't know. Maybe have Jai Courtney be Johnny Cage, because he has kind of like those movie star looks. He didn't really as Captain Boomerang, but just in normal life when you see him, he kind of looks like a prototypical movie star white guy. So maybe him. I don't know. I need more time to think about this. Just that's as good as I can do right now. Maybe I'll come back. Maybe I'll do some of this on my own time. I probably won't. But maybe I'll come back to this once I've had... Way to put me on the spot there at Fizz versus the World. Okay, at SVA underscore AKA underscore Beardy says, or asks, whose hair looked better, Harley Quinn or Raiden? Definitely Harley Quinn, because her hair didn't look just, you know, like an awful wig the entire movie. Until it was short hair in Raiden's case. But yeah, even the short hair didn't look great. So definitely Harley Quinn. And then he asks, Will Smith, beard yay or nay? And his opinion was yay. And my opinion was also yay. Will Smith looked great with that beard. Will Smith looked great in the movie. But you can't say that the people in this movie aren't all pretty much like aesthetically pleasing to look at. It's just everyone in this movie is pretty... look like actors, you know, they look like people in movies. Let's see. At Daniel Feltz also asks, do I have a favorite Suicide Squad story? Are there other villain teams you'd recommend people check out? I don't have a favorite Suicide Squad story that I can think of. Maybe there's one that I'm just not thinking of, but like I said before, I don't think I've read just a ton of stuff where the Suicide Squad shows up. Other villain teams you'd recommend people check out? Thunderbolts. That's like probably the first villain team with a book, with an actual comic that comes to mind. I'd start at the very first trade from back in the like late 90s, the original Thunderbolts. I'd start there. Or if you've got, the Marvel Comics Unlimited app, you can just start there and work your way through that. That's some good stuff. Oh, shoot. There was another one I was trying to think of, and now I have completely forgotten it. I love the issues of Amazing Spider-Man and Spider-Man that feature the Sinister Six that are drawn by Eric Larson. I think Peter David is writing one of them, maybe David Michelin, I can't remember. But then the other one, Eric Larson writes. I don't know how good they actually are, but I certainly enjoyed them. I don't know if they're like objectively good, but I certainly really enjoyed them as a kid, and still do because I enjoyed them so much as a kid. And I still like Eric Larson's artwork. So there you go. He added that he has a new connection. Michael Jai White, who played Spawn and tons of other, he's been in tons of other stuff. He has played Jax and a member of the Suicide Squad, but not in either of these, not in Mortal Kombat Annihilation or in the Suicide Squad movie. So that's pretty interesting. At Rebecca Crook 1 asks, Batman versus Superman or Suicide Squad, which was worse? Batman versus Superman was definitely worse. It was, Suicide Squad was a mess, and it was kind of, a lot of stuff didn't make sense, but not, it was not nearly as bad in those regards as Batman versus Superman, where it's like, things don't, it's not just that things don't make sense, it's that things actively fight against logic and the way people, that movie is so much worse. And also that movie is like insultingly, offensively bad. The stakes are much lower when you're dealing with characters that are not as big a deal as Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman, where it's like these top tier characters. So even though Suicide Squad is a mess, with the exception of Harley Quinn, most of these characters are, you know, now I know that there are lots of people out there that probably love, you know, Deadshot or, you know, take your pick. But if you get a movie with characters who aren't as big a deal wrong, it's not as much of a failure as it is to, you should work super duper hard to make movies with characters that really matter to a lot of people to make sure they're good. And when you don't do that, it's an even bigger disappointment and failure when the movies are not good. So, yeah, Batman vs. Superman was way worse. And people, understand, it kills me to have to say that a movie with Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman, much less the first movie that the three of them are all in together, is terrible. I can't even begin to tell you how much I wish that movie was just amazing and that I could have loved it because it was so great. But I can't lie to myself or to you guys about my opinions on stuff to do with these characters, because I feel like they deserve, you know, both you and the characters deserve honesty about how things are. So yeah, Batman versus Superman, much worse. At Jokey_JokePants asks, any hope for a sequel? Yeah, I think this movie will probably get a sequel. And hopefully it'll be better. Hopefully it will make a little more sense. And yeah, I mean, who knows? Who knows? It, you know, it did fairly well that first weekend. It has dropped off really dramatically. I think I heard that Sausage Party beat it the second weekend, which is, that's a tough pill to swallow for Warner Brothers, I'm sure. But unless Warner Brothers is also responsible for Sausage Party or whatever. But I mean, anyway, so yeah, I think there'll probably be a sequel. At JP3Words asks, if you could make a team made up of both casts, who would you put on the team? I guess it would depend on what I wanted this team to do. If I wanted the team to play baseball with me, probably be a different team than if I wanted a team to try to stop the end of the world. Most of the Suicide Squad would, seems like they would be pretty useless in trying to stop an end of the world level event. It's like guy with a boomerang, girl with a baseball bat, guy with some guns, alligator man, guy that can set stuff on fire. It's not really a strong lineup for taking on an end of the world level event. Not much better with the Mortal Kombat squad either, unless the only way to stop the end of the world event is through a one-on-one fight to the death. Then, but you know, I don't know how well, nobody's using guns or anything in Mortal Kombat Annihilation, so I don't know how the Mortal Kombat squad would do against the Suicide Squad. So I don't know, maybe I would like pair them up and let them fight to the death, and then whoever was left standing at the end of that would be my team. And I don't know who those people would be. I'd have to think about it. I'm not going to just sit here and try to do that while we're recording, because that would be just a lot of dead air. At Pginder? G-I-N-D-E-R? I don't know how you pronounce that, but congratulations on a name that I don't know how to pronounce. Who is the Mortal Kombat equivalent of Deadshot? I don't know. I mean, I guess really in the Mortal Kombat world, again, I think Kano would be the closest to Deadshot, because Kano's got like a, he's got one eye that's got a thing over it, and he's, you know, he's basically a contract killer, an assassin, so that's the closest in Mortal Kombat Annihilation. I don't know. Whoever. At Tanner True asks, are any of the characters convincing as bad guys? Not really. None of them seem all that bad. Slipknot punches a lady. That's not a good thing to do. Will Smith does kill a guy, but it's like he kills a guy who's a bad guy. So you don't, it's not like he kills, in the scene at the beginning where they're showing him killing people or killing someone with his assassination skills. The guy he kills is, it's not like it's a doctor who's a good person or the Dalai Lama or something. It's like some organized crime guy that's about to testify or something. So, I'm trying to think if any of, I mean, Harley seems kind of more crazy, but they always play like the stuff that's going on with her more as fun. And nothing she does is really in the movie is really all that bad. So I'm going to say no, they don't do a good job of making them seem believable as bad guys. At the Noir Guy asks, is there a character in Mortal Kombat Annihilation that can escape, but then comes back because they've got nothing better to do? I mean, it seems like most of them could just leave whatever's going on. Jax seems like he really, at every turn, he does not want to be involved. But then he keeps being involved. I don't know. You've got to think if you've got some kind of skills that could help defeat an end of the world event for the sake of your own life, if nothing else, you're going to try to get involved. So, since in Mortal Kombat Annihilation, the world's going to end in 6 days if they don't stop it, it seems like there is no better thing to do. There's kind of nothing else to do but do that. Jax seems very much like he doesn't want to be involved at every step along the way. So maybe Jax. I hope that answers your question. Oh, also asks, what's your favorite weird music cue in Suicide Squad? They're all pretty, the movie is just like constantly hitting you over the head with really obvious music for little scenes, which make the whole first 30 minutes, first half, I don't know, however long it was, just feel like it's the whole thing feels like a trailer. Up until like that, I don't know how far in. Instead of like you're watching a movie, it just feels like you keep seeing trailers for movies about these different characters, and you keep waiting for the movie to start, and it takes forever to start. So I don't know. Also, even though it had so many songs, they all just kind of run together to me. So I would probably have to see it again, but I don't really want to. So I don't know. And in Mortal Kombat Annihilation, the thing that's weird to me is how little they use the Mortal Kombat song. Basically only, they use it once, like as the movie's starting, very briefly. And then at the very, very end, when the final part of the fight between Shao Kahn and Liu Kang happens. And I think that the whole movie could have benefited from every time there's music, if it was just the Mortal Kombat music instead. It's more weird to me that they didn't use that more. At Lawson Jeff asks, should I see either of these movies? Depends on what your tolerance level for bad movies is. I don't know you that well. which is to say, I don't know you at all except for your screen name. So I don't know. That's just a choice you're going to have to make for yourself. I think they're both worth seeing if you can appreciate awful things, and or if you just like seeing how movies can be horrible train wrecks. At Lightning Armor asks, if you could have cast someone instead of Jared Leto for the Joker, who would you choose? Man, that's another one I probably have to think about, and I don't want to just like sit here and think about with dead air. I think Jared Leto could have been a great Joker, though. I mean, when they said they were casting him originally, before any of the pictures came out, I was like, yeah, okay, he's like a real actor. I mean, he seems a little weird. But, you know, that could totally play in the Joker's favor. And I think that there's probably stuff with him somewhere in a vault or on a hard drive somewhere at Warner Brothers that would make us think this was a much more interesting Joker than what we actually got to see in the movie. So I don't know. I'd have to really think about who else I would want to play him. You could go a lot of different ways about it. The biggest kind of problem about it to me, though, is that you've got this really young Joker and then a really old Batman. I mean, really old as far as like the age you expect sort of superheroes to be. And, you know, for Joker to be like Batman's number one villain and he's so much younger, it just doesn't seem like... It doesn't seem like this Joker could have been around for 20 years or whatever, like they say that this Batman has been around. That's kind of the problem I have with this whole universe they've set up, is that they don't feel cohesive. Like, this Joker could work by itself if it was just a movie about the Suicide Squad, but the way that he is with that Batman doesn't seem to really line up to me. But, you know, I think Jared Leto could do it a lot of different ways and make it work. I think the way they went with him, I feel like anyone would have had a really hard time making the Joker work if the way that they went with him in this movie is the way that it had to be no matter what. Like, if that was just the choice that Warner Brothers and David Ayer had decided to go with, like that he was going to be this young... tattooed, you know, slightly quirky, just kind of gangster, you know, could have gone a lot of different ways. I think he was definitely better than, Jesse Eisenberg's version of Lex Luthor, though. So, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll try to think on it. Maybe I'll try to think on all these casting questions and come back to them later on a different episode. He also asks, which characters from either movie would you swap out to play the same role in the opposite film? I'm going to have to come back to that one too. I don't know. You could probably move a lot of these characters around in some of the ways that I mentioned earlier, and it would probably kind of still work or not work depending on what you think of the way the movie's turned out. And then finally, at Green Clock asks, how much do you wish you'd seen Secret Life of Pets instead? Well, that movie certainly looks like it has some cute animals in it, and I'm definitely into those. But if I had seen that, I wouldn't have been able to talk about all of this with you guys. And so this is a great question to end things on. And it's been fun. If a little stressful trying to just talk by myself for this long to you, but I hope it was fun to you guys. And I hope that maybe I'll still see Secret Life of Pets. I don't know. I actually did get invited to go see Secret Life of Pets just yesterday, but couldn't go because I had other plans. So, so who knows? But, I don't want to make a habit of doing episodes by myself, but in case it does have to happen again, I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode, and I hope that I have answered your questions in a way that was pleasing to you. So there you go, guys. That's the end of the show. Follow the show on Twitter at KICTM Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at TheChrisHaley. Go to iTunes and subscribe to the show. Leave us a review, please. Thank you so much to everybody who has already done that. I think everything is still 5-star reviews, which is very cool. And yeah, tell a friend. Tell 2 friends. Tell 20 friends. I don't know. Let people know about the show, because that's basically the only way people are going to find out about it, because that's how these things work. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you guys for sending me questions. I know I've got emails and Twitter questions not about these movies to get to, and like I said in previous episodes, we will get to those. But thank you guys so much for listening. Follow the things, do the things. I don't know, guys, I am really, really sleepy and exhausted and just all those things. It's 5:30 in the morning. Just understand that. So, yeah, guys, have a good time. Remember, be there for one another. You're family now. And I will just see you the next time. And I'll leave you with this.